Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're taking a look at God's desire for the backslider that's walked away from Him. The message is called The Call to Return, so let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 55 as we go back to basics.
You want to know what life is about? God says, seek me, seek the Lord, and then call upon him. So again, here, call upon him rather than the gods that they were calling upon. Israel was calling upon gods that couldn't save. They were calling upon gods that were not real gods. And over again throughout this great prophecy, the Lord points out the folly of the people in turning to idolatry. At one point, back in some of the earlier chapters, maybe you remember, as we're going through it, he's talking about idolatry. He says a person takes a block of wood, and part of it they throw in the fire to heat their food. The other, they fashion it into the image of a man. They bow down and worship it. And he says, they're not making the connection. It is a block of wood. And it's so true. Even in our day and age, we tend to think that we've moved away from idolatry. That is something that the previous generations of people did because they weren't sophisticated enough. But we're not idolaters today. No way. We don't carve images out of blocks of wood and bow down to them. But we do. We just have a different set of idols. Behind every idol, there was an idea. So today, we are pursuing the same types of gods. We're thinking pleasure, we're thinking wealth, we're thinking power, we're thinking wisdom, we're thinking these are the things. These are the things. And we're calling upon them in a sense, in as much as we're trusting in them or hoping that through them, we're going to find what we're looking for. The Lord says, no, call upon me. Seek the Lord. Call upon the Lord. And then he calls for repentance. He calls for repentance. To repent means to turn. The word, the idea is to have a change of thinking, which results in a change of action, which results in a change of direction. So, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. So you see, there's a turning away, going in the wrong direction, going after these things that can never satisfy. God is saying, repent, turn to me. The wicked forsaking his way, the unrighteous, his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. Now, the interesting thing to me here is, although this can certainly appeal to a person who's never known the Lord or a person who's never been in a relationship with him, the immediate context is this is an invitation for people who have wandered away from the Lord or have turned away from the Lord to come back. It's really the call to a backslider. But there's, I think, a distinction that can be made. In one sense, it's the backslider in heart, but then there's also the appeal to those who have actually backslidden. The backslider in heart is the person who's drifted away from the Lord, thinking that these other things are going to satisfy them. That's who he's talking about in the first couple of verses. Those who are trying to find fulfillment in other things. Why do you spend your wages for that which does not satisfy? And this happens to people. People who become Christians, people who get involved in the life of the church, people who begin to read the Bible and go to Bible study. But then something happens at a certain point where they start to think somehow that there's something more out there in the world that they need to pursue. They start to think somehow that, well, maybe there was something that I missed. Maybe if I would have just held out a little bit longer, that would have come through and then I would have found that fulfillment. So what they do is they start to drift off more in their hearts initially, no longer satisfied by the Lord, no longer fulfilled in their relationship with God. They go out and they start dabbling in these other things. But they still go to church. They still read the Bible occasionally. They still say prayers before they have their meals. They still go through the motions, but their heart is disengaged. This is the person, on the one hand, that the Lord is saying, return. And this is, as I said, this is who he's talking about when he's saying, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you going after these things that can't satisfy? Don't you realize that there's nothing out there? Don't you realize that that can never meet the need in your life or fulfill the void? You know, it's true. People have put it in various ways, but it is true. In the heart of every human being, there is a God-shaped hole that nothing can fit in except God himself. And until that void is filled, nothing can satisfy. So he's saying, return. Return to the Lord, speaking to the wanderer, the backslider in heart. But then he speaks to the backslider who it's gone beyond the heart, to the person who's gone back out into sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous his thoughts. So he's talking about people who have fallen away from the Lord. You know, I have often thought that if all the backsliders in Orange County decided to come to church on one particular Sunday, you wouldn't have room in all the churches in the county. There are that many backslidden people. It's astounding. I meet people all the time who once were in church, who once were studying the Bible. I sometimes meet people who were once even, you know, leading Bible studies, going on missions trips. Occasionally, I meet people who were once in the ministry, preaching the gospel, teaching the word, but now they're engaged in a lifestyle of sin. They've backslidden. They've fallen away from the Lord. But here's the thing that we need to remember. God's heart for those people is not to cut them off and condemn them eternally. God's heart is to see them brought back. Thus, the invitation, this gracious invitation that is given. And so look at what the Lord says. First, there comes the call, but then, secondly, look at the promise. What is the promise? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. You want to know God's heart for those that have drifted away, for those that have fallen away, for those that have rebelled and walked away? God's heart for them is a heart of mercy. He's inviting them back. He's calling them back. Again, as we study the relationship between God and Israel, we see this over and over again. These long centuries that God is pleading with the people over and over, come back, be restored, be reconciled. God will have mercy. What will he do? He will forgive. He will forgive. He will cancel that debt. Now, not only does he forgive, but notice what it goes on to say. Not only does he have mercy, but he will abundantly pardon. This is the thing that gets me. Whenever I think probably 90, 99% of the time, whenever I've been in a situation, maybe counseling a backslidden person, this is the passage I take them to. Because look what it's saying. That God will have mercy, and even beyond that, he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Now, the picture here, I was traveling with a friend of mine last week, and we were doing a conference up in Montreal together. And he was teaching on the subject of grace. We did a couple of sessions on the grace of God. And he had this great illustration that I want to steal from him right now and share with you. But he was talking about, you know, not only are we forgiven, but we're justified, we're reconciled. And the way he illustrated it, he said, think of a person who's, you know, either served their time in prison or maybe they've been acquitted of the crime or something like that. And maybe you've seen this. I've seen some clips of this occasionally where somebody's released from prison and, you know, it shows them they're coming out the gates open, they walk out, the gates close behind them. And then it shows them just standing there sort of, okay, you know, I'm free, but where do I go from here? And we know that for many people, they end up right back in prison because they don't really have anywhere to go, and they usually go out and get in trouble again. But he's using this as an illustration to talk about the person that God forgives. So here's the person that God forgives. He comes out of the prison. He's standing there. But here's the difference. As he's standing there, a limousine pulls up, and the doors open, and they say, come on, get in. You're going now to your new home, and we've got a place for you, and we've got a job for you, we've got a position for you, and actually, you've been adopted into this family, and there's a wonderful head over this family who's got all kinds of great intentions for you, and this is the biblical picture of what God does. He doesn't simply forgive us and say, okay, yep, I'll forget that, I'll wipe that out, but you better make sure you never mess up again. He doesn't do that only. He does forgive us, but then he lavishes his love upon us. He reconciles us. He brings us into the family, and then he begins a work of restoration in our lives. And that's what's being described in the passage here. There is an abundant pardon. You're given a place in the family, and then notice what proceeds from that is blessing and satisfaction. Look at verse 2. Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. So you see, what God's describing here is forgiveness, an abundant pardon, and future blessing. It's a truly amazing offer. The question is it for real? I mean, it sounds too good to be true in some ways, doesn't it? Because after all, we tend to think that because of what we've done, or maybe we're looking at somebody else, because of what they've done, there is no reconciliation. Sinners, backsliders, tend to think, with the help of the devil, no doubt, they tend to think that there's no way back, that there's no mercy available, that there's no restoration possible. I've had many people say to me over the years, well, you know, the problem is, as they think about coming back to the Lord and receiving his mercy, they think, well, you know, I don't think I can because I knew what I was doing. I willfully walked away is what they're thinking. I sinned against this knowledge. So the enemy comes in and compounds that, and they end up thinking, I can't come back. I've met people that have expressed a desire, I want to come back to the Lord, but I just don't think he'll accept me. So this is the way we think. But listen to what it says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Look, this statement is connected to our God will abundantly pardon. So the Lord is saying, look, I will abundantly pardon you. He's anticipating our response. Oh, no, that can't happen. I've been too bad. I knew what I was doing. I willfully walked away from God. All of those kinds of things. The Lord interjects and says, no, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. See, God's not like us. We might have somebody that sinned against us. We might have somebody that's betrayed us. We might have somebody that has harmed us. And we look at them and we think, I will never forgive them. That might be us, but that's not God. God says, my ways are not your ways. See, God's ways are the ways of grace. God's ways are the ways of mercy. Grace is not man's way. It is higher than man. It is above man. Man could have never conceived of such a thing. The gospel is the good news because of grace. And grace is the distinct factor in the biblical revelation. If you want to know what makes the Christian faith different than any other religion on the planet, it's grace. That's the distinct factor with the Christian faith. It's grace. What is grace? It's God's abundant pardon. It's God's abundant mercy. It's God giving us his favor even though we don't deserve it. That's what grace is. And so this is what God is doing. Essentially, he's extending grace to the backslider. He's saying, come back. And when we come back, he doesn't say, okay, now that you're back, you know, just sit over here for a while. You know, we'll get to you later, but just be happy that you're back. Or he doesn't put you over in a category of a second-class citizen, so to speak. But he welcomes you back in fully and completely, just like the picture that we see in the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told. Remember what happened? When the father who went out daily looking for, hoping that his son would return, when he finally saw him coming, what did he do? He put his coat on him, he put a ring on his finger, and he called out to his servants. He said, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. My son is home. But remember, his brother was like, wait a second. That's not fair. His brother didn't know anything about grace. All he knew was law. Hey, he did all of these things, and I've never done any of those things, and you didn't bless me this way. And the father said, oh, my son, I would have given you anything you asked for. But your brother was lost. Now he's found. He's dead. Now he's alive. It's time to celebrate. Why was Jesus telling that story? He was telling that story to illustrate the heart of God. And that's a great New Testament illustration of what is being spoken of here in Isaiah 55. It's God's grace. And so today, maybe you've drifted in your heart. You're still going through the motions, but you know in your heart that you've been drifting toward, back toward the world, back toward the things of the world. You've been thinking somehow that, well, you know, this, or I've got to get that. And even though you're still coming to church, even though you're still doing the things that you've been doing as a Christian, you know that your heart has grown cold to the Lord and your passions are being rekindled for the things of the world. God is saying, don't go there. There's nothing there for you. You want to go out and waste your money, so to speak? Why are you going to buy this bread that can never satisfy? Hearken to me. Seek me. Come to me. Eat. Listen carefully to me, God says, and your soul shall live. If that's you today, the Lord is saying, no, draw near to me. Seek me. Seek me with all your heart. The reason why you're feeling that emptiness or that frustration is not because there's something else out there that can satisfy you, but it's because you haven't been seeking the Lord. Start seeking him again. And maybe you're here today and you haven't been here in a long time. And you really are in a backslidden state. You know, I prayed last night that God would bring backsliders to church today. I prayed that, you know, people that haven't been here for a long time or haven't been to a church for a long time, for whatever reason, you would make it here today. But this is the reason God has brought you here today, to let you know that he wants to forgive you, that he has an abundant pardon for you, that he has a blessing in store. Just like with the prodigal son. As soon as he returned, it was like, okay, let's just move forward. Let's move forward with blessing. And look what it says in verse 12 as he's talking about those that are reconciled. He says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hand." And listen, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." Instead of the thorns, instead of the briars. That's a description of barrenness, dryness. That's a fruitlessness. And that's essentially what the world leaves you with. But no, God says, no, instead of that, he's talking about blessing. He's talking about prosperity of the soul. The moment you return to the Lord, he's there to meet you with blessing, an abundant pardon. You're brought in. The coat is put around your shoulders. The ring is put on your finger, and the party begins. And so, the call, listen, seek the Lord, call upon him, repent, return to the Lord. The promise, God will forgive. He will abundantly pardon. He will bless and he will satisfy. But one final thing. Notice that there's an urgency to this. Because it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The indication here is that you have to seize the opportunity while it's there. I've thought about this lately. I've seen people who have had moments of seeming readiness. It was the moment. God was working. They were being convicted. Their hearts were tender. It was time to make the connection. It was the moment of engagement, and they didn't do it. And I've seen, as time has gone on, the heart has grown harder, and all of those feelings and desires for the things of the Spirit have dissipated, and it appears like they missed the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The indication is that there might come a time when you can't find him. Call upon him while he is near. The indication is he might not always be as near or available as he is today. Now, I don't know if that's because our hearts get hard. I know that is true. Our hearts do get hard. But does the Lord withdraw the offer to some extent? I don't know. But we know this, that Jesus came to Israel and offered himself as their Savior, and they didn't receive the offer. And he said to them, "Because you did not know the day of your visitation, your house is left to you desolate." Those are horrifying words. You didn't know the day of your visitation. Seize the opportunity this moment, for the scripture reminds us, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. God's speaking to you today. Take this moment as that time God's visiting you. He's saying, come back. You don't know that you'll have another opportunity, but you certainly have the opportunity today. God's gracious invitation to return to him. Take it to heart.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Call to Return, and the resource number is OBB547. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.